From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Donald Trump won a legal victory on Tuesday when a U.S. District Court judge sided with his administration over who should lead the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau as acting director. The CFPB is a relatively new agency envisioned by Elizabeth Warren, who is now a progressive Democratic senator in Massachusetts. Outgoing CFPB director Richard Cordray had named as his deputy director Leandra English, who, as per the agency's rules, was meant to take his place. But Mr. Trump quickly moved to install his favorite, White House budget director and longtime critic of the CFPB, Mick Mulvaney, to the position. And now the courts have sided with him. Conservatives have turned the CFPB into a political football for years, denouncing it as anti-business. Trump himself called the agency, quote, a total disaster, and pronounced the court decision as a, quote, big win for the consumer. My guest is Helene Olin. She is a blogger for the Washington Post's Plumline, as well as The Nation. She's the author of Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. Welcome to the program, Helene.
Thank you for having me on.
Thanks so much for joining us. So let's sort of try to understand, for those people who haven't been paying close attention to how the CFPB is supposed to work. Richard Cordray was supposed to be able to serve his term till 2018. He was appointed by the Obama administration, but it was known for a while that he was going to step down sooner rather than later, right?
Yes, his term would have been up in the summer of next year in 2018. But what happened was it's thought that he wants to run for governor of Ohio. This still hasn't been confirmed. And as a result, he resigned last week and left the agency in the hands of an appointee. And that's where all the most recent problems began.
Right. So the rules governing the agency, as per, I believe it was the Dodd-Frank Act, was that the deputy director would take on the position of acting director in such an event. And Richard Cordray, I'm assuming, anticipating that, of course, was expecting his deputy director, Leandra English, to take the position. And if the Trump administration, of course, followed such rules, that would be the case right now, right? That Leandra English would be acting director.
Right. Well, it's complicated because what happened is it seemed that there were two competing theories as to what should happen, right? And one is the one you outlined. The other is that this should be filled, and this was the position the Trump administration took, under the Vacancies Act, right? And as a result, Trump appointed his head of the White House Budget Office, Mick Mulvaney, a longtime critic of the CFPB, to the position temporarily while he gets his regular nominations in order. And this is where the fracas began, because, of course, this landed in the courts mighty quick. As of yesterday, a D.C. district court ruled with the Trump administration, English, and says she's going to appeal, and there is some chaos until Trump actually nominates somebody to take over and they get appointed.
I mean, this is almost seems to have gone to the level of political theater with CFPB employees probably wondering who was going to be their boss. Photos have emerged of Mick Mulvaney attempting to ply his employees with a box of donuts.
Right. But to be fair, this is something of a tempest, a teapot, right? Because ultimately, yeah, Trump is going to nominate somebody, and the chances are incredible that person will be appointed by the Senate to the position. So the question then becomes, why did Trump do this, right? Why start a fight, right? What's
the point? Because this is all over just the acting director. I mean, he could have simply let Leandra English stay in that position till he gets to nominate someone anyway for the Senate. So it just seems as though this was a very unnecessary fight.
Right. And that's exactly it. And then the motivation is why. And the theory is, of course, that Trump, who has been in and the congressional Republicans, who have been extremely antagonistic towards the CFPB. Mulvaney in the past has called it a sad joke of an agency, said it shouldn't exist, wanted to turn it into a commission of five people, which we can see how effective that is with the FCC now and net neutrality. Basically, they just want to get started. And so the first thing Mulvaney did while this was all being sorted out was announce a freeze on hiring and any actions by the CFPB.
And so he's wasted no time.
They're wasting no time. But part of what might have driven this is only a few, there were rumors that there was going to be a lawsuit filed this week against Santander Bank over some loan issues that the CFPB was not happy about in terms of overcharging consumers. That's presumably not going to happen at this point. Could he settle pending litigation against, say, Navient for not treating student loan borrowers particularly well? Of course he can, right? He's the temporary head. And of course, there's all sorts of other things that could happen, right? People are worried about the databases where they complain about credit card companies and student loan processors and so on down the line. So, if you don't like the CFPB, there's a really good reason. You might as well just get started with your wrecking ball, right? And that brings me to my bigger point, right? This is all Trump so far has really been able to accomplish, right? He hasn't gotten a lot of legislation through, not that necessarily you or I would want him to, but nonetheless, he doesn't have much to claim. All he can claim, and here he's had considerable achievement, is in taking apart Obama's legacy, right? And he's pulled out of the Paris Climate Accords. He's rolled back more labor initiatives than we have time to talk about right now, but he's pulled back on pay equity. He's pulled back on worker safety regulations, and so on down the line, right? And this is what he's doing. He is simply trying to rip up the past 8 years as though they did not exist.
The Consumer Finance Protection Bureau specifically has been a thorn in the side of conservatives because they have seen it as a major Democratic achievement with Elizabeth Warren, who, of course, recently was in the past has been the target of very crass jokes by Donald Trump himself. This is her legacy in government before she entered political office. And isn't it one of the only places within our government where ordinary people can actually take consumer complaints to the government?
Yes. And, the Elizabeth Warren part is another part of this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we all know Trump has something of a personal issue with Elizabeth Warren here. And with Trump, it's always personal. But this is an incredibly valuable resource where you can get help from the government if you complain about your credit card company or a student loan processor or a mortgage issuer.
And it's only been around for a few years. I mean, this is something that the government should have had for years before and only managed to come into existence after Elizabeth Warren pushed for it.
Right. And, it also goes to show that, one of the things the Democrats have done over the past several years, and this is not to demean the accomplishments of the CFPB at all, which I think is an amazing outfit. I just want that said, is that, we really haven't been able to accomplish very much. So a lot of things have been done through regulation, right? The problem with regulation, as we're now sadly learning, is that when the next guy comes in, it can all be taken apart. And that's what we're dealing with right now. And this is going to have a horrendous effect on consumers. There's no question this is going to have a horrendous effect on consumers.
Is the CFPB a, quote, total disaster in Trump's word, just like Obamacare was a total disaster?
Well, if you're a financial services firm like a bank or a student loan processor, that's probably how you see it, right? Because, by the way, while banks are having record profits, let's just put that out there, right? Yeah. But what are record profits when you can have even more record profits? And so from their perspective, every time they have to satisfy a CFPB mandate or help a consumer with a complaint via the CFPB, they're losing money and they don't like it, right? We live in this horrific winner-take-all society where nobody ever has enough. And instead of, you know, simply being a good consumer, I mean, a good company, corporate citizen, they just want to take more. I mean, the real example is with the CFPB, you probably would not know about Wells Fargo and what they had done without the CFPB getting involved.
Right. And of course, so many among Trump's own base feel victimized by these corporations. And yet, sadly, he is able to pull the wool over far too many Americans' eyes by using language such as calling the court decision about Mick Mulvaney a big win for the consumer. Let's talk about Mick Mulvaney. So apparently he's going to be acting director of the Bureau while remaining budget director of the White House. Is that what the agency was envisioned to have? Is that a little bit of a conflict of interest or not?
That seems to be a huge conflict of interest. And a lawyer today actually published something online, and forgive me because I am blanking on his name right now, saying that this is a massive conflict of interest and possibly not even legal, right? Because the way the CFPB was set up was to be independent of the president and to an extent, Congress.
And that's why their tenures were staggered, just like the tenures of the people who head, say, the FBI.
Right. And one thing that was done is the CFPB's funding very much does not come from the White House, right? And this seems to be breaching that line, right? Because Mulvaney's the head of the budget, right? Of the budget office. So what's going on here? This doesn't make a lot of sense. And again, Mulvaney has basically said he would like to tear this organization apart in so many words. He said it numerous times over the past several years. We have no reason to not take him at his word at this point.
Can the administration really take it apart? Just going back to what you were saying about doing the kind of work that really should be done through legislation, doing it through regulation instead. If the Trump administration wants to, can they do away with the CFPB or make it so toothless that it's essentially ineffective?
I mean, to do away with it, you'd have to pass it through Congress. And while the House might go along with that, it seems hard to believe the Senate would go for it, right? And why would you do that? That's a publicity hit. You don't need it. You could just render it toothless and make it useless, right? And that's essentially what's likely going to happen. I mean, if you think Mulvaney's going to be bringing actions, you know, like getting the $100 million plus fine against Wells Fargo for, you know, the bad thing, the really great things the banks are doing for you, right? And Trump's tweet, right, is setting up fraudulent accounts on behalf of their own customers. And if you think, you know, the Trump administration or Mulvaney is going to take a hard line on this sort of stuff, you know, there's a bridge available for sale.
Okay, so what can the Democrats do, if anything, about what is happening with the CFPB? As you said, this is something that, you know, was one of the few achievements of the Democratic Party. And one might even argue that the reason some of this was done through this sort of regulation was because it was very hard for Obama to get much through Congress because of Republican intransigence, them stymieing him at every step of the way, at least, you know, once they did take hold of Congress. Is there any legislative recourse at the Democrats' availability, given that they are the minority party?
Really, there's not a lot to be done. I mean, really, the best thing to do is to keep talking about this, because what we do know is that the CFPB is enormously popular. Majorities of people support the mission. These are majorities of both Republicans, Democrats, and independents. Most people want the government to protect them when it comes to interactions with the financial services sector. They want the government looking out for them with their credit card company and the people who give them mortgages. And the more we can talk about it, and the more we can keep it in the public, in the public's vision and hearing, and let them know what's going on, the better we all are. I mean, that's just the thing, because there really isn't, on one level, a lot of practical steps that can be taken at this point, aside from that, except to constantly point out that Trump was running a con. He was always running a con. He was, you know, not only is this not draining the swamp, this is like finding the most horrendous swamp creatures you can possibly find and putting them in charge.
Now, in earlier this year, you had written a piece in The Nation magazine about the CFPB and what the agency had started to try to do, you know, putting the Republicans in the position of upending a, as we just mentioned, a very popular agency. Will the Republicans and Trump lose political points for doing what they're doing right now?
We can only hope. I mean, the thought was, in the piece I wrote for The Nation, just to backtrack for a moment, was a look at the issue with mandatory arbitration, right? Where if you sign up for a credit card right now or sign up for a mortgage, chances are incredible. When you sign on in this fine print, there's language saying you cannot resort to the courts at all, right? In the event of a dispute, you're forced into arbitration, which notoriously favors the company, the corporate interests, right, for various reasons. And the CFPB was attempting to amend that so that companies could not ban you from joining a class action. You couldn't take a company to court yourself over a dispute, but you could join it with a class action. So that if there was a bigger issue, like, say, you know, a bank was overcharging for withdrawal fees, right, you could join together. And anyway, the legislation, the regulations were published by the CFPB. Under federal law, Congress has 60 legislative days to overturn regulation once it's published. And what they did was they overturned this, and they could do it by a simple majority vote. The hope was that this wouldn't happen because this is actually a fairly popular cause with the public, especially military, by the way, who are enormously targeted by, frankly, the financial services, bad players in the financial services sector. So it was thought that a number of Republicans wouldn't go along with this, and this would be allowed to pass into regulations, and that would be safe. And that's not what happened at all. As we all know, a couple at the end of last month, it was overturned. And that might be part of why, you know, Cordray also finally left, because, you know, that was sort of, it didn't happen.
Right. Well, John Nichols has written about this in The Nation, about what has just happened, this sort of legal fight over who is to take over as acting director from Cordray. And he cited an organization called the National Constitutional Center, saying that this court decision and Trump's desire to push Leandra English out in favor of Mick Mulvaney represented a minor, quote, minor constitutional crisis. Do you agree with that?
I think you can see it both ways. And I have to admit, I personally not made up my mind on this one. But to me, I mean, the bigger issue is as I said, you know, it's a completely unnecessary fight. And it tells us that, you know, Trump wants to take apart consumer protections as fast as possible. You know, is it a constitutional issue? It might well be a constitutional issue. I'd like to see how the courts play out on this for a while. But it certainly wasn't good, and it certainly isn't something done by anybody with good intentions.
Well, Helene, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I suppose we'll see how this all plays out with Mick Mulvaney, whether his position is challenged by Leandra English, and, you know, the conflict of interest, especially with him being White House budget director, and what the future of the CFPB will be. We'll post links to your pieces from our website later today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
My guest has been Helene Olin. She is a blogger for The Washington Post's Plumline and The Nation, and the author of Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. We've been discussing the future of the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.